My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I don't mean to telegraph anything to your friend Raheem Morris, who you're seeing in a couple Sundays from now. Is there a Justin Fields package still, do you think?
Hey, my friend Raheem Morris better be ready for Justin Fields package. I'll just say that.
Okay. So Fields won't just have an earbud and a clipboard is what you're saying here.
You know, I don't want to disclose any strategic approaches, but it's probably too much talent to be sitting around watching all day.
How about that? Mm-hmm. And to the local media, Doran, when he was asked about Justin Fields package, he said his athleticism is freaky. So much ado about nothing, gamesmanship, or are you taking Mike Tomlin at his word about Justin Fields' package?
I think that Mike Tomlin knows how smart you have to be an NFL head coach, how you have to cross all your T's and dot all your I's and check every box and make sure that you didn't miss anything. And he knows Raheem Morris personally.
Good coach.
Yeah, I've always thought he was a good coach, and I'm glad he's gotten another opportunity of being a head coach. So I think that this is nothing that is going to catch Raheem Morris off guard. I think he already knows that Raheem Morris is preparing for a Justin Fields package. He knows that any other 31 other head coaches in the NFL that he's going against will prepare for a Justin Fields package, and there will be a Justin Fields package. Like, it'd be a derelict of duty, as we've been talking for weeks now, and at least this week, to have your arguably best athlete on your team stand there on the sidelines. Like, they're going to play him, and he's going to be, and they're going to try to make him be effective in some type of way going against the defense. So this is nothing that is like, oh my gosh, like Raheem Morris, he better pay attention. He better put this defense in to stop Justin Fields. Like, no, yeah, you always were going to do that if you're the head coach.
Yeah. They, Raheem Morris wasn't sitting around not watching film the last week or so.
Yes.
He's watching film. He's going to be prepared for Justin Fields.
He knows that Justin Fields is on the roster.
And he also knows what else the Steelers have offensively. And it's not a ton. Not really. George Pickens, the running back room, is good. But you don't have much else in the way of dynamic playmaking. We know that Arthur Smith believes in tight ends. You and I believe that Pat Freiermuth is going to have a breakout season. Pat Freiermuth still is not Travis Kelce. He is not
George Kittle
or Antonio Gates back in the day, or Anthony Gonzalez. Point being, even though we expect a good big year out of Pat Freiermuth, he's not a guy that keeps you up at night. I think they have, frankly, one guy on the offense that keeps you up at night, and it's George Pickens. I was rewatching yesterday because, God, am I a nerd, man. The end of the season last year, some of the highlights from the Steelers' final three games. And George Pickens did look like a different animal. He really did. He was outstanding, with the exception being the last game where they played in a monsoon.
Right.
And, well, that just wasn't going to happen. He can keep you up at night. He looked like the run after the catch threat that we thought he would be all season long in those final few games. So that's the guy, if I'm Raheem Morris, I'm going, okay, number one, stop him. Then you stop the run. Then what?
Right.
Then what? So, of course, Raheem Morris is preparing for him. But Mike Tomlin, I don't think he was lying in this. I think he knows the score. I think all those things I just said that Raheem Morris knows, Mike Tomlin knows too. Arthur Smith, more importantly, knows. So I would actually be surprised at this point if we don't see Justin Fields. The thing is, I don't know when. I think you have to be very thoughtful in-game when to do it. I think you almost, and correct me if you think I'm talking out my ass here, Doran, I think you almost have to do it when Russ is playing well. If Russ has a couple of bad series and you open up the next series and it's Justin Fields for a few snaps, I think that's when you're asking for disaster. I think that's when you're asking for quarterback controversy. If Russ is playing well, but now, okay, maybe you think Raheem is going to get a beat on what you're doing offensively and you want to turn it to Justin Fields, I think then that makes a little bit more sense.
If you want to get interesting and maybe, I mean, this is what our job does, is thinking about these things and maybe it transpiring, like what I would probably do in listening to Mike Tomlin talk yesterday and saying that Russell Wilson is the number one quarterback, but it was a very tough decision, and then how much he loves Justin Fields. I could see this, Russ playing the first snap of offense, throwing a flat route to Freiermuth, getting about 4 or 5 yards, and then Justin Fields coming to the game, the second play of the game.
What?
I could see that. And people be like, whoa, Justin Fields now? Like, if Raheem Morris, are you prepared for that?
So
are you prepared for third and one? Are you prepared for special situations? Because I don't, like, if you want to catch somebody off guard and you want to, you know, kind of play the game a little bit and say that you do love both quarterbacks, hey, Russ started the game. I told you he's going to be the starter. But here you go. Here's Justin Fields, and you're going to, you know, do a run play on second down, second and six.
So you got him as Luis Ortiz before Luis Ortiz was in the rotation. You got him as the opening quarterback.
Just for this game.
Well, yeah, because you are right. Like, if I am Raheem Morris, and I'm not a football coach, but if I'm trying to get in the mind of Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin and think about when they're going to use Justin Fields, I am probably thinking third and short, fourth and short, maybe red zone stuff. Like, that's what I'm thinking.
Right.
And so if you're Mike Tomlin, you're thinking, what do they think we're going to do? So let me try to do what they don't think that I'm going to do, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you're going to try to throw a curveball, thoughtfully non-rhythmic, as Mike Tomlin would say.
It wouldn't be anything crazy. It would just be Justin Fields taking a direct snap and just, you know, just running off tackle or something. And, I mean, it's second and six. Say, you know, you do a little quick, you know, rhythm throw with Russ in the flat and get a couple yards. And then it's second and, yeah, six or seven. And then you get, you know,
a little read option or a little quarterback power or something like that.
That would catch me off guard because I wouldn't expect him in there that early, at least second play of the game.
I mean, you bring up a...
Sounds ridiculous, but like at the same time, I mean, that's what I would do.
Not really. It doesn't sound ridiculous to me at all once you suss it out a little bit, because I don't love the idea of him in the red zone. I don't love the idea of him on third and one or fourth and one, frankly. I don't know how I would use him. I really don't. Because Russ was so effective in the red zone. If there's two things he could do, Tomlin has talked about it. It's the deep ball. And then the statistics bear out he was excellent in the red zone last year. I mean, excellent. 20-1 touchdowns to interceptions. Those are the places where he's good. So I don't want to take Russell Wilson off the field for red zone situations. And maybe this is unfair because it's one out of a bajillion snaps that Justin Fields has taken in his career. But I have a bad taste in my mouth from that fourth down in the preseason,
the read option
where Justin Fields makes a terrible decision. It would have been at worst a first down, perhaps a walk-in touchdown, and he keeps it himself, he loses yards, and that's a turnover. Like, fourth down stops, you know, their turnover on downs, they don't get stacked up as turnovers when you go at the end of the season, you look at turnover differential. That's a massive play
in a regular season game. Like, so, I mean, whether people believe it or not, NFL players are smart, especially quarterbacks, and Justin Fields, it has to be smart to play that position.
Sure.
He knows that where the flow is going to go whenever he is in the game. He sees that play. He knows he made a bad read. Now he's going to make the correct read and actually sell the play even more, and it'll be a touchdown. I think he did do it in the last preseason game, honestly. He did hand the ball off, and everybody, if you watch, everybody's eyes went to him. Like, he knows that. He knows that. He knows how that operates, how that works.
I'm just wondering why he can't run read option. He's not the athlete. I get that. But you can run some read option stuff on a 4th-and-1, 3rd-and-1 with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, you can.
Hey, he's still got legs.
Yeah, you can, and they will. But they will with Justin Fields, too.
Here's where I smell disaster. You've got a rookie center who at least in the final game had his signals crossed with Justin Fields in the bad snap. Justin Fields is a damn fumble machine. And we saw three fumbled exchanges between Justin Fields and his center this preseason. Now you're switching quarterback in and out. It's a 3rd-and-1, a 4th-and-1, and the guy puts the ball on the ground. We will come on here the next day and absolutely eviscerate the Steelers. Things are going okay for Russ. Russ is playing fine. Defense is playing great. You're in the game. You're battling. Now you pull in Justin Fields, who, if he plays, and I do now think he will, he's not going to be playing a ton. So maybe 4 or 5 snaps, whatever it is, and he's under center or he's in the shotgun and you have a screw-up like that, I think you're flirting with it, man. Because Russ, if there's one thing he's not going to do, it's F the game up, I don't think. Justin Fields can and has and maybe will.
He won't be under center. I know that. Anytime he's in the game, he won't be under center. What's the point? Like, you're kind of taking away from what he does.
Little option stuff?
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Little speed option, maybe?
I wouldn't put him under center because of what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole situation, not the first two fumbled snaps were under center. The last one was a silent count, and that was on the guard who slaps the leg of the center, and then, you know, Frazier has to snap the ball.
On Justin Fields, just right. To be fair. That wasn't.
So, I mean, you'll have a normal cadence, I believe, that everybody will be on the same page. I'm not really worried about Zach Frazier hearing a different voice back there after probably practicing it 20 times.
I am worried about something that you've talked about, though, which is, okay, it's 4th-and-1. And I don't care what time of the game it is, 4th-and-1's going to, when you talk post-game, a 4th-and-1, if you're going for it, 4th-and-2, whatever, is going to be one of the plays of the game. Regardless of when, regardless of circumstance, it's going to be one of the plays of the game. It's such a crucial down. I want the Super Bowl winning quarterback being able to check out of stuff, being able to set protections. I know they're going to use Justin Fields. I'm just having a hard time of thinking about what would be the best time to use him. And I get what you're saying. It doesn't even have to be specific 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, red zone. Just here and there.
Yeah.
Just as kind of a changeup.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the best description that I've heard on it.
Well, I kind of look at it like this too, Crowley. Like, you know, you're game planning, right? So you're game planning for the Falcons. And well, let's say the second game, because then you'll have tape on everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're game planning, who they play the second game again? They play
Broncos.
So you're game planning for the Broncos. You know what the Broncos like to do on 3rd down. You like know what they like to do on 2nd down and at every portion of the field. It's like, okay, they have their sub package on 2nd and 6. They have their other sub package on 3rd and 10. So whenever you see a package and anticipate a package going in that would benefit Justin Fields being in there, that's whenever you put him in. Like, if they have different bodies on the field, whenever they sub those packages in that they can't account for, or you have Justin Fields that would do the read option and you know that they're not going to be able to account for, that creates another hole, that's probably whenever they do it, if they are in a flow of the game, is the certain packages that they're anticipating the defense putting on the field. If we're trying to like kind of see this big picture, I see what you're saying. You're like, when are they going to do it? And why would they do it whenever you think that they might do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It'd probably be like, oh, they're going to be in this type of defense on 3rd and 7. This is the perfect defense. We want Justin in there to do the things we want him to do.
Do they run spy? Do they not run spy? Things of that nature.
Can they get into spy if we do sneak him onto the field on a 3rd down? Like, who will be the spy? Oh, it's, you know, Judon has to drop into the flat because he's the spy because they're in this defense and it doesn't allow anybody else to be the spy. Oh, we win. We won. There's 1st down right there if he uses his legs.
The more data you get, the more film you watch.
Yes, yes.
That does make some sense. I know Russ is not prime Ben,
uh-huh.
But remember when Vic was a backup quarterback and there'd be calls every week, texts every week, tweets every week. Should the Steelers, on 2-point plays, use Michael Vick? should the Steelers, in third down situations, use Mike Vick? They've got a Hall of Fame quarterback. Right. I'm just having a hard time.
I feel you.
Especially when Russ is our starter. He's a confetti guy. He's had confetti rain down on his head. Okay, well, what are you taking him out for? I can't wait to see how they try it, though. Yeah. And I have a lot more faith in Arthur Smith being able to do it than if this were the quarterback situation, if it were Matt Canada. That'd be some freaky, weird stuff. And not all freaky, weird stuff is good. Believe me.
Ooh-hoo. Jet sweeps with Justin Fields.
I actually kind of do want to see that a little bit. A little Justin Fields jet sweep. And then behind the back, toss it to Russell Wilson, who then scrambles to the left, throws it all the way back to the right. Justin Fields wide open for a touchdown. Pittsburgh special. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line, brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Would you agree with me on this, Dorm? Number one story coming out of Steelers yesterday that's being talked about is the quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Isaac Seumalo.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge story that on any other day would be the thing we'd open the show with. And here we are an hour and 15 minutes in, and we haven't touched on it yet. Let's touch it next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yell.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Next, baby.
There's nothing to report. I'm just going to keep my head down. Just continue to just keep controlling what I can control. That's up to my agent and the Steelers front office to work on that. My job is to play football.
Would you like to get something done in the next week? Would you like to get something done before Sunday?
I would like to. Through this process, it was brought to my attention, but I just want to play. And, I want to be here. I want to have one helmet, but that's for them to decide.
That's Cam Hayward talking with Richie Walsh, among other reporters, Jeff Hathorn there yesterday, and he's going to join us coming up in about 11 minutes here on the Fan Morning Show. I love Richie. What a question, though. Do you want to see something get done in the next week or so? Well, yeah, man.
Yep.
Because they're not going to do it during the season. They don't do that unless the policies change. That's actually something I wouldn't mind changing. You know, they have done things differently since Omar Khan came around, right? You spend more money in free agency. They overhauled the quarterback room. They made a trade at the deadline to pick up the pick that wound up getting them Joey Porter Jr. They've done a ton of new different things. They fired a damn coordinator in the middle of the year. I wouldn't mind them negotiating contracts in season. And why not have that start with Cam Hayward?
Yeah.
It makes all the sense in the world. They don't do that. They want to see if he can stay healthy. So if 9-10 games through the season, he's kicking ass, taking names, and staying healthy, because I assume that if he stays healthy, he's going to kick ass and take names. Give him the contract then.
Mm-hmm.
What's the harm in doing that? I don't think it becomes a massive distraction, not for that guy. And you could say it sets the precedent then, but you make special exceptions for special cases. Why can't Cam Hayward be that special exception for a special case?
Wouldn't the price go up, though, if he is balling?
Perhaps. I don't know that he's moved off his price right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he probably wants to make top 10 kind of money for that position. You're not willing to pay that right now. Maybe you would be willing to pay it if he just shows that he can get the job done. I'm not talking about multi-year deal. I'm talking about, okay, you want to come back next year, we'll make that happen, and we can float year by year, man.
Yeah.
Because you know he's not going to be a malcontent. He's not pulling the whole Ayuk thing. He's not pulling the thing the dude's doing with the New York Jets. He showed up. He's come to work every single day. I think he's the perfect guy to change things for.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because if not, I don't think now that I would give it to him. I said way back when that I would, because I look at their defensive line situation for next year, and you're probably not going to have Larry Ogunjobi, and you have Keanu Benton, but really that's it from a starter-capable situation. Keanu Benton, I think, is going to be a stud. And so I feel a little bit better. Not about the depth, but at least you'd have a principal piece to build around. I don't think I want to do it right now, not knowing if he can stay healthy.
I don't think it has anything to do with any of that. I think it has to do with, is Ayuk going to be here or not? I think that that's what the holdup is. I don't think it has anything to do with, can he stay healthy? Do we want to do it in season or not? I think that they're focused on, do we need that money somewhere else? And if we have money left over, then we would negotiate maybe an incentive-laden contract of the money we have left to give to Cam. Like, I think that that's really what the holdup is, or it would have been done.
I agree that that could absolutely be a big part of it. No question. And I don't view Freiermuth the same way. Like, I think, and we have been told by enough people that are in the know, that this Freiermuth thing's going to get done. I don't know what the holdup is there. I would be shocked if that doesn't happen before the season. But you know what you're going to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Hayward, there's probably such variance in what he wants and what they're willing to pay. And if you're going to tack on $28, $30 million to a wide receiver, that might affect what you're going to pay him. And it's right. Probably not going to change all that much what you do pay Freiermuth. I buy into that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
I think it's all of it. I mean, I think you roll it all together.
I think if they do get Ayuk and they pay him whatever it is, I think Cam Hayward is absolutely next. They're like, they already have it in place of what they would set aside for Ayuk. And if Cam, if he does sign, then Cam would be next. I think they're just trying to figure out, like, do we have wiggle room with Ayuk? Like, what if we have to give him an extra million, whenever it all is said and done?
Well, and then you factor in quarterback
right
next year and needing to have enough space to do literally anything. Literally anything. If Dak Prescott's out there and you think if you like him, then you need to know that you've got money to spend on a guy like that. Or the more likely, Russell Wilson impresses, and you got to give him $33 million like Baker Mayfield or Justin Fields. What might that cost? What might both of them cost together? You do have to pay attention to that. Obviously, if you are Omar Khan and now you're working through all these machinations in your head, what am I paying Cam? I'm going to have to pay Freiermuth. What's happening at running back? Probably nothing, but what's happening at running back? Are you going to have to renegotiate a TJ Watt deal here at some point? Is Brandon Ayuk going to be part of this roster? And all of a sudden, the $85 million they have next year can dry up
quick,
really quick.
Uh-huh.
And even if it doesn't dry up in actuality, you're spending that money hypothetically in your head.
Yes.
So I guess it's not a surprise that they're waiting on him. It did not sound, though, that Cam Hayward was super optimistic. And I find him to be a very honest man. And wears his emotions on his sleeves. And he's a great leader and a really good person, obviously. Walter Payton, Man of the Year. Doesn't sound like there's been much movement there. But Jeff was there. He can tell us how he read that situation. Who's going to start at left guard if Isaac Seumalo, and he will, has to miss significant time? We can talk to Jeff about that much more when we come back. This Cam Hayward contract conversation. Presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And we are joined by our sports director, Jeff Hathorn, was in the middle of all the big stories yesterday at Steelers practice. Jeff, good morning to you, buddy. How you doing?
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Jeff, we were talking about Cam Hayward in the last segment. We played back some of the audio. It really seems like nothing has happened there. You believe him, you take him at his word. And what was his demeanor like in addition to the words that did come out of his mouth?
I don't know if he was, I don't know if frustrated is fair, but a little bit concerned. I mean, it's something he wants to have done. I mean, you heard in what he said about how he wants to be a one helmet guy. How he wants to be with the Steelers. I think everyone at their job probably feels like, hey, look at all the, if you've done what he's done, you think, all right, I don't care what else is going on. Like I want to have this behind me. I want to be able to know what my future is. So I think there's a little bit of concern. That doesn't mean a deal won't get done. But I buy into what he was saying, and I thought, for a lot of other guys, he showed off his captain, the reason that he's a captain by going through all the drills and all the things he said is why he didn't hold in.
Jeff, what are some other takeaways from yesterday that you really maybe caught your eye or caught your ear?
Jalen Warren saying he's going to practice on Monday and that he feels good about potentially playing. Roman Wilson could practice on Monday. That's a good sign. And Troy Faltano is just like, hey, I'm kind of expecting to go Monday. And he was able to do some very small individual work. I don't know. I think, September 8th is a way long shot. But at least, you hear the injury news with Seumalo. But at least for those guys, like that came off to me as like, okay, like this is the injuries aren't all bad news, and some of these guys are going to be back maybe sooner, or a couple might be ready, or at least Jalen might be ready for the game in Atlanta.
Isaac Seumalo looks like he's going to miss about a month. We'll see. That's what the reporting is coming out of the Post-Gazette, coming out from Adam Schefter. Big loss. I mean, I think he's clearly their best offensive lineman. Who takes over for him? Who gets first crack?
I think Spencer Anderson gets first crack. When we saw in camp, the first guy that would come in, if he had a day off, if they needed something, if he or Daniels had time off, it was Anderson. As camp went on, you saw a little bit more of Mason, and I think Mason's starting to feel more comfortable. But I would think Spencer Anderson, listen, this dude's a seventh-round pick. He's played every position in college. He's worked at every different position, but they've been focusing him at guard. The sad thing is, for Nate Herbig, this is the perfect opportunity where you could have slid him over to guard
right,
and put Zach in. But unfortunately, he's unavailable. And I think Spencer will – and listen, they really like Spencer Anderson. He's a seventh-round pick they kept last year. They were trying to find a spot for him as a swing guy. And now he's going to get an opportunity most likely to prove himself.
If Seumalo were healthy, do you think they would have considered moving him to guard? Because – there were a lot of people that seemed to like him, not Seumalo, excuse me, Faltano. A lot of people seemed to like him as a guard coming out of college.
I would say with all the work they've given him at tackle, probably not. Not in this situation. you know, if they had more time, if it was early in camp, maybe that would, that'd be something that they would consider. But I don't think at this point they would.
Okay.
Jeff, I mean, we got college football on Saturday. I mean, we'd be remiss not to ask you about that. But I do want to ask you about Heather Lake. Have you heard any update, anything that is going on with that situation on your end?
Yeah, nothing confirmed at this point with Heather. There's a lot of talk around her, and you know, she's done a ton for the university. So there's a lot of chatter, but nothing new as the season, you know, kicks off on Saturday.
Jeff, I don't know how much Pitt practice you've seen. I don't know what you're allowed to say, but Cade Bell talked yesterday and said their goal is to run a play every 7 seconds. Ambitious or doable for these guys, do you think?
I think they just want to give Dorn some cardio work.
Seriously. My lips.
I think ambitious, but from everything they say, listen, here's how it works for us. We can watch up until the point it gets really good at Pitt practice.
Yeah.
Then they kick us out. So we watch all the individual stuff. So even for us, you know, we haven't seen that, you know, that offense really run at this point. But if you look what he did at Western Carolina, I mean, they ran fast. There'll be times they'll slow it down. You know, they'll be purposeful in what they're doing, you know, if they have a lead, those type of things. But they do want to run tempo, and they've been practicing it, and they think it's an advantage for them to use in games. Maybe against Kent, they don't run it as much. Maybe they, for competitive reasons, we'll see how the game goes. But yeah, they're gonna move it. And obviously, you know, they've got a quarterback situation to solve, and you know, they're gonna do everything they can to try to find that quarterback before they go to Cincinnati.
Jeff, does West Virginia have a chance Saturday?
I think they have a chance at home. I think they have a chance. It's all those cliches that you hear, you know, got to win the turnover battle. All those little things have to happen. But I think they have a chance. I do think, though, Penn State is a very good football team.
I think I've got the perfect strategy here, guys, on how West Virginia can win that game. We know how Penn State has struggled with Michigan over the years under James Franklin. Maybe someone takes his glasses off him. Going into the stadium, a little blurry, a little fuzzy. He sees the blue and gold, and he starts thinking it's Michigan. Maybe he out-coaches himself. I think that's a hell of a strategy.
Put Connor Stallions in the stands.
Oh, he'll be there. He'll be a big football lover, that Stallions. Jeff, really good stuff, man. We appreciate your time. And next week we'll be talking about Pitt game in the rearview mirror and looking ahead to the Steelers, man. Looking forward to it.
It'll be game week for the NFL. Let's go.
We're here. We're back.
Thank you, Jeff.
See you guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
He's the man.
I got not a question for you, but I do have something that just sparked in my mind.
You made a face.
Yeah, because it just kind of clicked. Like, okay, how did Herbig get hurt in practice?
I thought he got hurt. I can't.
Did Sam Alo get hurt in practice? These are two pec injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's lifting, that's three major injuries from this new strength staff for the Steelers. Russell Wilson being the first one of a pulled calf, and then two pec injuries if it was the lifting and the performance side
of it. Well, the interesting thing to me about Sayamalu is they've really protected him during camp.
Right.
Like, he was getting a lot of veteran time off. That's when Spencer Anderson would work in there. Like, they know how important he is, and they were treating him as such, and he still winds up hurting the pec. And for an offensive line, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, that's as bad as, I mean, that's awful.
Right. I mean, that's terrible. I mean, you have to reach, you got to block, you know.
And he's not going to be able to maintain his strength over the next month. He's not going to be able to lift, not be able to do anything.
I do wonder if it was strength training, because that is three major injuries, and this is a new strength staff.
What are the three?
Well, Russell Wilson with the calf and pushing the sled. And then if it's Herbig with the pec and they're benching or doing something different. And then it's Sam Alo. Like, if it is that, like, that is something to be that I'm monitoring if I'm Mike Tomlin, because it's a new strength staff and you got three guys that are majorly injured. Like, what are we doing in the weight room? If that is that, I don't know if it
well,
is.
Well, I mean,
I know one is.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we don't need any confirmation to know that it was a terrible idea with what they were doing with Russell Wilson. That's for damn sure. We might have Bill Hillgrove coming up next. We might not. I think moving forward, we're going to have him on Thursdays at 7:50. So we'll give him a ring. Maybe we wake him up. Maybe we don't. We shall see.
I'm hearing he's coming on, and he was given the video link, so he should. So he had more of a bonus.
Bill Hillgrove, next. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. That is the Pitt fight song. And Mr. Pitt joins us now for year number what of broadcasting as the play-by-play man. Bill Hillgrove is with
51.
Us. 51.
Jeez. Wow.
I was 7 when I started.
Well, speaking of 7, Bill, you got Cade Bell, the offensive coordinator, saying they're going to run plays every 7 seconds yesterday. How's that going to treat you, man? I feel like you got the hardest job in the world now.
Well, I better take a stenographer's course because I like to keep track of the play-by-play, so I got to develop some quick shorthand. Also, you know, I mean, it won't be every play. There'll be sequences when it goes that fast, but they do have check with me's, and so that's going to give me a little time to write and certainly Pat Bostic more time to talk.
Bill, who are you excited to pay attention to this year? You know, obviously Nate Yarnell, Eli Holstein, they're going to get a plethora of the reps at quarterback on Saturday, but anybody outside of the quarterbacks, are you excited to see take the field on Saturday?
I'm excited for them to use Gavin Bartholomew more. Didn't use him enough last year, and I think that's a plus. Plus, I think they're fairly deep at tight end, as they are deep at running back. The O-line, I think, is solid. Wide receivers, yeah, you got some question marks, but Kenate Mumfield leads a pretty good, talented, fast group. So I think they can score points.
Is that the biggest question? Because I happen to think, and this might be rudimentary, I think Narduzzi's going to have the defense playing well because he's Pat Narduzzi and it's defense after all. Is it a question as how fast can the offense get up to speed and that will help get them to their ceiling this year? Just how fast get that down?
Adam, that's a good point. And I think, you know, as you know, football's hand and glove. And the defense has to sometimes help the offense. But last year, that offense was so woefully pitiful that, you know, it put too much of a strain on the defense. And I think that came to fruition as an example, the Syracuse game where Syracuse just said, we're going to run the ball down your throats. They couldn't stop it. I think right now up front, they have 6 tackles who could start, maybe 7. You've got a much improved linebacker core. So, you know, I think they'll do a better job of stopping the run, and I think that's the key. You know, Narduzzi always wants to make you one-dimensional, and I think they can do that.
Billy, you got Penn State, West Virginia Saturday. Obviously, James Franklin, Neil Brown. You got Pitt in West Virginia about 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks and a little bit from now. Out of all three of those coaches, Pat Narduzzi obviously included, who has the most pressure to win this year, in your opinion?
Well, that's a good question. I think Narduzzi has pressure to win, but you know what? I think last year was an aberration. I don't think it was a true indication of where Narduzzi's program stands. And I think the failures at offense just kind of took that whole thing and took it south of the Mason-Dixon line. And so I think he is the most pressure, but there's pressure on Neil Brown. And hey, James Franklin, you know, still to a lot of Penn State fans, he's got to beat Michigan and or Ohio State, and that hasn't happened yet.
Bill, you spend a lot of time, obviously, around Pat Narduzzi, so I imagine that you have a good feel for how he's feeling. He's not always going to tell us if he jumps on the air, though we love having Pat on, and I think we have a nice rapport this show with Pat. Are you picking up optimism from Narduzzi? Is there a quiet confidence? What's his vibe going into the year?
I think it's pretty confident. I think I can read him pretty well. I mean, he's been here 10 years, and I think he knows that the focus is on his team. And I think in this opener particularly, you know, Kent State has like 42 transfers, so you don't know what you're dealing with. They got a second-year head coach and 2 new coordinators. So, you know, I think he's right in saying we just have to do what we do and worry about that. And I think that will get them through the early part of the schedule. Cincinnati, although they come off a 3-9 season, they're going to be better. And certainly Pitt, West Virginia, you just kind of throw out records and it's a big rivalry. And so, you know, that could make it more interesting.
Bill, we're super excited about this. We're going to be doing it every Thursday at 7:50 throughout the football season. We appreciate you waking up today and joining us, and we can't wait to be doing this here.
I'm going into the hardware store to buy two more alarm clocks.
Thank you, Bill.
See you Saturday, Bill.
Best of all luck right, on Saturday. Have a great call.
H2P.
There's the man.
Yes. H2P.
Bill Hillgrove. I say it all the time.
H2P?
No, not that.
Hail to Pitt?
No.
I love Pitt?
No.
Pitt fight song?
No.
Pitt?
I was going to say.
I love Pitt.
There's a lot of people that are associated with the program that make it harder to hate Pitt than I used to. Like, I don't care that my wife went there, my parents, screw them. But Bill Hillgrove, great guy. You're a great guy. Pat Boston, great guy. I happen to enjoy the conversations I've had with Pat Narduzzi. You guys make it tough on this Mountaineer over here. Eh.
You know he's listening.
I know. That was an accidental omission on my part. Of course, EJ goes to the top of the list on niceness. As good as it gets in the country at the SID position. All right, coming up next, we transition back to professional football, Doran. Kyle Shanahan doesn't seem to be all that happy with one Brandon Ayuk. And yesterday was kind of the day of days in the Brandon Ayuk saga. Stop me if you've heard that before. Reason to believe it's different now. We'll tell you why, but first, fan weather. Brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms, conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 90.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.